This is the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you've got a quarter of an hour for us, then we've got 15 minutes for you. So grab your skinny, venti, double-whip mocha, your cup of tea with milk and two sugars, or something with bubbles if that's your fancy, and spend the next 15 minutes with us here at the Atlantic Voice. This is the AV15. I'm Zeph. I am here, in fact, here back by the beautiful Thames River on a sunny English summer day. I have my guest, Matthew Layton. Matthew Layton is a proper broadcaster, whereas Eric and myself on the Atlantic Voice are two men in a basement. I'm here with Matthew Layton, a proper broadcaster, part of Zone 1 Radio. Matthew, welcome to the AV15.
Hey, Zeph. I think you'll find you're my guest. You're in a proper radio studio this week. How's it feel?
It does. It feels slightly strange. But the view is much better, I will say that.
Yeah, the view out the window, not over this side of the desk.
it feels strange and yet eerily professional.
Yeah, no, you actually sound reasonably professional, which is good.
For a few brief moments, I actually feel I've arrived.
Yeah, but you're leaving on Tuesday, aren't you?
Yeah, leaving on Tuesday, and obviously looking at your terrific setup here, I'm leaving on Tuesday without a paycheck, it would appear, from my very brief career in radio.
Well,
which so far is about 2.5 minutes.
You see, the way I see it is we're trying to seduce you. We're slightly irritated by you, because what's happened is you decided September last year that you were going to have a go at radio and a bit of podcasting for a bit of fun. And I heard your first show and I went, you, can I say bastard?
You can, yes.
You bastard. You have a wonderful warmth in your presentation, and you can talk. You can do what I've been trying to do for 15 years, probably better than I can, I hate to admit it. And I think you've got some talent. And one of the reasons I wanted to invite you down here today was because I'm trying to seduce you. I would like...
Well, a change of shirt would actually help there, probably.
But I would like to bring you to Zone 1 Radio, which is what I do. And I think the idea of a show from Washington with a little taste of American culture through a British lens, I think it's really exciting, and I think you're a really exciting lens to do that with. So we're in negotiations, aren't we?
Yes, but you are rapidly seducing me with that slew of compliments. So talk to me a little bit about Zone 1 Radio. What is it you've got going on here?
Well, Zone 1 Radio has been around since 2012, January 2012. And actually what it comes from is the radio industry, like many industries these days, it's all about short-term contracts. And I hit a period of unemployment. And during that period of unemployment, it left me quite low, to be honest. And to get myself back on my feet, I went and volunteered at a local community radio station. And it gave me somewhere to be, got me up in the mornings. I felt part of a team. My skills were useful. And not only were my skills useful, I was able to train other people. And one of the guys there who started off as a musician, we taught him a bit about scheduling a radio station. And he now works for Discovery's Italian channel in London, scheduling 10,000 elements a week. And the buzz used to be hearing a van drive past or walking into a cafe and hearing something you'd produced. And there'd be a room full of people or a car full of people who didn't know it, but you'd made something that they were actually listening to. But to be honest, that buzz was equaled by helping somebody to get into a job. So that was the point where I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to help people, the long-term unemployed, our other target audiences are people recovering from addiction and mental health service users, and we do some work with ex-offenders as well, so people coming out of prison, and trying to help them get some skills and get back into work. They turn up to play radio, we cuff them around the back of the head, say there's no money in radio, why don't you come enjoy making radio programs with us, and then maybe we'll give you some social networking skills, you know, because that's a growth job market at the moment. Everybody wants a Facebook. And some administrative skills, and we'll teach you deadlines and discipline. So that's kind of what it is. We make radio shows, but there's a heart behind it as well.
So there is a sense of community presence in Zone 1.
We're trying to get there. Unfortunately, in the real world, what you have to do to be able to do those nice things is actually make a bit of money to pay the rent and pay the people who are capable of doing that kind of thing. So what we've actually found is our business model says for the first couple of years, we're going to have to be pretty dang commercial while we build case studies and prove ourselves as an organisation that can actually do some good. So, yes, it's a social enterprise. It's hopefully trying to make a bit of money to pay the bills and hopefully having a positive social purpose as well.
Talk to me a little bit about your own relationship with the medium of radio. And I remember being a kid and listening to the charts on a transistor radio at night, listening to the cricket or the football from far-flung places of the world under the covers. I know back in the States, there are people they listen to baseball on their little radio. What's your romantic relationship with radio?
Well, you and I, before we came on air in another conversation, we're talking about...
But that was over alcohol.
No, the one just before this.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
It's only 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's only noon now. No, we haven't had any this morning, but we're talking about...
Well, you haven't.
We were talking about... So the first radio I got, it was a little robot. I was in hospital as a kid. And when people talked or played music, his little red eyes would flash. And I think from that moment, I was sold. And the technology you and I were talking about, the cassette.
Yeah.
And yes, Seth, you're right. We have all recorded our own chart show and taken ads off the radio. I think that's something that kids these days are missing. We used to make our own radio programs. And radio in London in the 80s was fantastic. You and I talk about Radio 1 and Capital Radio and LBC. There was great programming in those days, wasn't there?
Yeah, and there was a relationship with the radio personality, which I think is different now. I know in the States it's different.
You wouldn't get a Kenny Everett these days, which is what we used to listen to on Capital in the late 70s, early 80s. He used to sit there and make his own little mad sketches and play music.
The people on the radio had distinct personalities that you felt you knew and they were part of your life, whether it was Kenny Everett having a laugh or someone else talking about London life.
Peter Young, for example.
Peter Young fan.
He loved his jazz.
Yes.
And he had the early slot on Capital Radio and... You used to trust him and want to hear what he was going to play.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening these days. Funnily enough, that's what we're trying to do here in terms of our content. We're slightly old-fashioned. we want people to trust our presenters and be engaged with them. And you and I were talking about the music. If you were to have music on your show, I would be interested to hear what you would bring to the table. And it would be something different to everything else that's happening in our schedule. You were saying that you work with teenage kids and that they have interesting taste, you were saying?
Yes. Country music.
Yeah, well, what is that? Washington, D.C.? Teenage kids... Country music.
Country music is part of the American psyche.
There's
no other way to explain it.
You can't explain it. So what type of country music?
I don't know. I don't like country music.
Well, I assume they're not like you listening to Johnny Cash or me listening to Kenny Rogers. I assume there's something else. Something's happened since the 70s, hasn't it? There's other country music around?
Country music is a huge music subgenre of its own. And while here in the UK, we probably think of country music as Johnny Cash, over there, Johnny Cash is just an old guy that used to play what all these new names and new talents play as country music.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit here at Zone One, and I do want to go back to this relationship and the personality of the presenter.
Mm.
Talk to me a little bit about your own... sense. I know you do a show which I'm going to promote right now, so I'll let you promote it. Promote your own show on Zone One Radio.
Well, I do a show called London GP. It's a motorsport show for Central London. Now, obviously, not a lot of motorsport happens here.
No, there's a lot of 5 mile an hour driving, I've noticed. being back behind the wheel on the right side of the car, I have noticed how slow it is in Central London.
Is there a congestion charge in DC?
No, but they do talk about it and it gets threatened a little bit and nothing really happens. But we do pay in the States to use... The toll road is a very... commonplace thing.
Yeah, but yeah, Americans threaten to take away their guns and their cars and you're not getting elected, are you?
And you know something? As an expat, I am all for my gun and my car.
Can I say, it looks very nice on your hip, sir. So London GP, you always worry, can you imagine going out looking for investment and there's a bloke who presents on the radio station and you think, what is this about? Is he after his own ego vehicle or whatever? But I fell into the motorsport thing. We have a wonderful guest contributor who we refer to as the most respected motorsport journalist in the world, Andy Vandenberg of Autosport. He and I have a regular chat every week. I was given a job at another radio station, and he was given to me as a contributor, and I kind of spoke to him for a while. Then I walked into a shop and looked at the magazine he edits, and there were jobs in the back of it for things such as job ads in the back of it for things such as aerodynamicist Ferrari. So he kind of has, he's one of the tastemakers in the £2 billion British motorsport industry, and he very kindly gives me of his time every week. The show is kind of pitched at people who enjoy the BBC Formula One coverage, so casual, have it on the telly on a Sunday. Kind of, you know, that's piqued their curiosity. So we've interviewed five Formula One world champions in the last 18 months. We've covered drift racing, banger racing, all sorts of different genres of racing. So, you know, we're kind of your gateway drug. We sort of take you on to the harder stuff a little bit. But the reason I do, there are a couple of reasons I do it. Number one, there is no place on commercial radio or the BBC for a show that is an hour of motorsport and music. So we're doing it partly because we can. But the other thing is, if we're teaching kids deadlines and discipline and they don't deliver their show, I go, look, I'm running this place and I'm delivering a show with two guests every week. So it serves that purpose as well. We do stick me on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock, which is where most radio stations tend to bury their slightly older presenters. So my tendency to play a bit of dad rock, which has become a running theme in the show. Of course, you motorsport, you want to pair it up with some AC/DC and some, you know, your proper guitar man music.
Not if it's NASCAR. Then it's country music.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I've been trying to avoid the country music NASCAR special for a couple of years, but I guess it's going to come and get me eventually, isn't it?
I say that now because my partner on the Atlantic Voices, our fans well know, Eric is a big NASCAR fan.
Yeah, Eric can talk about cars. I heard your podcast this week.
He can talk about cars, but he can talk about NASCAR too, so we will set that up for you. He goes to two or three races a year, big NASCAR follower.
Oh, fantastic. I'd love to go with him, actually, because apparently that's it's the largest spectator sport in the States, isn't it?
It's huge.
And, and again, it's one of those things you wouldn't find in Formula One, in that you can go and talk to the drivers, and they care about the entertainment. I think Formula One has a lot to learn from American motorsport.
Formula One is growing in the States, though.
Is it? Yeah, well, you've got Austin, haven't you?
Yeah, and NBC Sports, NBC is one of... Obviously, people back in the States know this. NBC is one of the four major networks. They have the Formula One contract, and they're showing the races live at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning.
Really?
They have about 4 to 6 hours of program a week that support the show.
Wow.
They use the commentators that used to work for a channel called Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Warwick, who used to be a driver and...
Former president of the British Racing Drivers Club.
Exactly.
God, I know some rubbish. I've been doing this for 18 months. I actually know some stuff now. That surprised me.
So Formula One is really gaining a following in the States. It's becoming... And I think for Formula One, this is my opinion as a fan, the States is the last great market that it wants to conquer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's doing it slowly and gradually, but I think it's getting there.
I think it is. And then there's the new race next year in New York, isn't there?
They're talking about it. I don't know how final that is yet, but I think that would be a watershed moment for the sport.
Well, you know what? We'll have to send you along. I expect a live report.
Well, just make sure the expenses cover it.
Yeah, that's part of the seduction that's going to happen later. We'll negotiate that.
So let me come back to Zone 1. Like I say, you're here in famous old studios that overlook the Thames down here in the London borough of Hammersmith. Where do you want Zone 1 to be in 5 years?
Well, in January, I want to be on digital radio, and we have nice audience projections that mean we might have a sustainable business. Unfortunately, we've got to find a shed load of money to get to that stage. As I say, year three, then hopefully the social benefit side of it will become a little more prominent. So it'll be two business running on. You know what? I just want to produce some great radio. I want to do... radio that you and of the level that you and I remember through our rose tinted glasses. And you know what? There's a reason we target women. We're looking for a 60% female, 40% male audience. Because you were able to tell me the long wave frequency of Capital Radio, which is
194.
And the reason you can tell me that is because it used to be on in the kitchen when you were a kid, because it's what your mum listened to.
Yes.
So, yeah, I want to build a sustainable business that's around for a long time, and I want to build a relationship with the audience, and I want to do some good stuff. So hopefully we'll... It's going to be tough, but I'm hoping we can do that.
But yeah, but from meeting yourself and your team here and just touring around, you're clearly on the cutting edge of understanding the marriage now. Radio is no longer that little box in the kitchen.
Well, this is the thing. This is why I dragged the boys in to talk to you this morning, is because...
It is a computer and a tablet.
A tablet. Well, in the States, it's a tablet. Yeah. Over here, I think it's an iPhone. It's about to become big. Richard, who is the guy who does the numbers and the brains behind our operation, he reckons that in 5 years we won't need digital radio anymore because the penetration will be so good on iPhones and tablets. I'm not convinced of that, but again, none of us know what's about to happen. You guys in the States, as you and I have had discussed a couple of times, we used to kick your butt in terms of mobile phone content and people interacting with their mobile phone. 3G came in, you guys took over, and now you're telling me that people... take your tablet into the shower with you and listen to radio through that. That's fascinating to me.
That's also very personal, so we shouldn't talk about it anymore.
Oh, no, I've just had an image of you naked.
I can take my shirt off if it
helps. No, that's not the kind of seduction we were looking for. But it's and nobody knows what's going to happen. The government in this country said they were going to turn off FM in 2015. That's an election year. The current government is Conservative and Liberal Democrat combined. There's no way that they're going to deprive their rural constituents of the Archers by flicking a big red switch, so that's not going to happen. DAB is getting some traction. It's taken it 13, 14, 15 years to get to that stage. I think it now has 40% penetration in London, 25% elsewhere. You don't even have digital radio in that sense in the States, do you? You've got the XM satellite radio.
Satellite radio.
Do you have that? Do you use it?
I personally don't, but I do listen. I do listen to radio via the computer, and I think radio now is a term for anything without pictures.
Yeah.
Rather than that old-fashioned transistor radio that sat in the corner, and I do think it's important for everyone to understand that. Yeah, radio is now a much broader term than it ever used to be
in terms
of the technology.
The interesting thing that we've asked you to do is do something that has music and speech in it. That doesn't happen in the States, does it?
No, it's one or the other in the States.
Yeah. Listen, I'm very conscious of the fact that...
This is 15 minutes.
This is 15 minutes.
Because Eric gives me a hard time when it's over 15.
I'm also very conscious of the fact that there's nothing worse than songwriters writing songs about songwriting. And I kind of feel that's what we're doing a little bit. I think we've gone down the anorak path here. So I think for the sake of your listeners, you better wind me up.
I will say this. I suspect there's a country musician somewhere talking about how he sung his last song. I'm Zeph. This has been the AV15. Matthew, thank you for being on. Thank you for us being on here and vice versa.
Yeah, Zeph. And also, I'm looking forward to your show. At the moment, we're working with the title Email from America, aren't we? I think we don't know quite what it's going to be yet, but we'll develop it over the next few months.
I don't think Alistair Cook is turning in his grave. He's just laughing hysterically.
No. I think he needs... I think you are his spiritual successor. I'm looking forward to seeing what you bring us.
Call me officially seduced. Matthew, thanks for being on.
Cheers, Seth.
This has been the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you'd like to be on the AV15, please send us an email at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice, and all our episodes, whether it be the AV15 or the podcast itself, can be found on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.